Okay, so I don't know what this first one is, but it is a feeling of anger.
We're doing a sequel. We're back by popular demand. Come on, everybody, strike up the band.
Negative possibilities are multiplying as we speak.
I'm sure I made a payment if it's about that balance check.
I'm gonna steal the Declaration of Independence.
I don't like football, Dad. I like podcasts. Hello and welcome to the latest episode of Where's the Damn Sequel, the podcast about great films that maybe could have had sequels made, but hopefully...
Not sure about this one.
So today, I'm joined once again by everyone's favorite recurring guest here on the podcast. It is the delightful Hannah Friedel.
Hello.
Welcome back to the show.
Hi. Very happy to be here.
Today we're talking about a film that's a bit, off the chart of the usual sort of type of film that we discuss on this podcast.
This was a personal request of mine. Yes. I can quote this film to a disturbing degree, as Lucien can attest.
We sort of, the story is we discovered the first evening that Hannah and I met. We discovered in conversation that we both had a sort of strange love of the motion picture, Men, Women, and Children.
Yes.
A film that most people have not heard of, that didn't get a cinema release in Ireland, and that is bizarrely kind of like one of the most, should be really famous and important.
Yeah, it's a star-studded cast. It's got Judy Greer.
That's the star. That's the star there. Judy Greer.
Dean Norris. Yeah. Adam Sandler. Adam Sandler plays like a sad, jerky offy dad.
Yeah. And J.K. Simmons.
J.K. Simmons. Timothy Chalamet makes a brief appearance. This is like early Timothy.
Caitlin Dever is in it, who's kind of breaking out the last few weeks because she's in Booksmart. And Emma Thompson is the narrator and sort of god.
Slash Carl Sagan. She's not Carl Sagan.
She could be.
Get out of here.
I, in my film exam a few weeks ago, used this film and Emma Thompson's role in it as an example of the unusual use of a female voice as an omniscient narrator. Which is usually a male voice. It would be the sort of cliche in films.
And it truly is. Can I swear on this one?
Yeah, you always do.
It truly is wonderful to hear Emma Thompson use the phrase, may I say it?
Did she say that?
Yes, because she says in her posh British accent, she says, titty fucking cum queen. And it's my favorite thing on earth. So.
Okay, so this is a film about internet is...
Life, sex, and relationships during the internet age. It's a big ol' like... what's that called? Like a warning?
Public service announcement.
It's like an after school special type thing. It is the most preachy. It's fun.
It's directed by Jason Reitman, who is the mastermind behind such wonderful films as Juno, Up in the Air.
So J.K. Simmons had to make be a dad in this one.
What else did he make? Labor Day, which is like unwatchable. Jason Reitman made one other film that's interesting and I forgot now what it was. It doesn't matter.
Anyway, any more words, Lucy?
No
more. That's it.
Jason Reitman.
No, Men, Women, and Children. This film is, it's like an ensemble movie, kind of various vignettes going on. There's like the daughter who's like a popular girl, and her mother is trying to help her get famous, and she's like I'm totally done it before. She's like the character of the
Angela in American Beauty.
Yeah, Angela in American Beauty. She's very much that, except in this case Judy Greer is her mom, and her mom takes like weird photos of her in lingerie for her like acting website.
Yeah, this film is sort of like a weird hybrid of two big 1999 movies, Magnolia and American Beauty, where it has the sort of parallel lives, people kind of stumbling towards unhappiness thing of Magnolia, of this ensemble. And then it also has the like weird kind of how contemporary life has altered people's sexual relationships, and especially in terms of like young people being sexually presented.
Yeah.
That American Beauty has.
No, and there's like, should I talk about? There's like trigger warning, anorexia, like eating disorders in this one, big time. So like, yeah, that may not be your cup of tea, but it's very much.
There's enough other stuff in the film.
There's
that
enough.
You can avoid it and not miss out on much.
You can avoid it. Yeah. But yeah, that's pretty brutal and pretty poignant. But again, like that is.
But on the other hand, we have Dean Norris and Judy Greer falling in love, which is
yeah,
because like,
Dean Norris, this is where kind of the paths collide, because Dean Norris is the father of Ansel Elgort, and Ansel Elgort is an ex-football player who just sits around playing Guild Wars all day. And then he has the brilliant line, "Dad, I don't like football. I like Guild Wars." Yeah.
Okay.
And then a therapist asks him, "Is that a Nintendo game?"
And he says, "No, it's an RPG." "Are those your friends from school?" "No, I've never met any of them." RL. What's RL?
Real life.
Real life.
Also, he watched like Carl Sagan's Pale Blue Dot, and suddenly became like a nihilist. Just like a very like.
He's very misanthropic about the world.
Yeah, he's just became, and also his mom left.
Yeah, that doesn't help.
Yeah, so he has this.
But
dad.
he meets a girl who's the delightful Caitlin Dever, but she's dealing with this like overbearing, paranoid, anti-technology mother.
Who we didn't mention the star Jennifer Garner.
Yes, Jennifer Garner, who's like tracking all of her online activity, like reading her messages.
Yeah.
Won't let her daughter have any online independence.
Yeah.
And little does she know that her daughter, as she says, I have a secret. A Tumblr account.
And it's like a kinky Tumblr account where somehow not only has she managed to hide like an entire Tumblr account from her mom, because her mom has like a machine that like goes through her internets.
Yeah.
But she's like managed to hide like blindfolds and handcuffs and wigs and like. She has this like.
Her mother is almost like. It's like the mother is too busy searching her internet history to search her drawers.
Yeah, exactly. So she's got this like kind of kinky alter ego that she somehow manages to display on Tumblr.
Mm-hmm.
So this movie has a weird like vilification of all social media platforms and all that, but oddly a vindication of Tumblr.
Yeah, sort of, because it's like the one area where the parents don't understand what it does.
Yeah, because she says I have a secret, a Tumblr, it's the only place I can be myself.
Yeah.
And it's like very
it's great.
It's so that.
So go through what other notes have you got? Let's talk about this.
Just scrolled down a lot of stuff. So you have the hot girl who's Judy Greer's daughter, who's like an extra, like, she's so Angela. What?
Face this way.
Was I not talking
into... You're facing that way.
Okay. So she's super duper Angela. And then, like, at one point, one of the girls asks her, like, did you, like, actually... She shows them a picture of her giving a blowjob, and the girl's like, did you actually, like, let him in your mouth? And then she goes, yeah, how else would I know that it was salty? Which is a favorite line of mine, but apparently not Lucien's. Chalamet plays a football player.
He does.
A football player who keeps looking at Ansel Elgort and saying, I'm going to kill you.
Yes.
Because everyone's mad that Ansel Elgort
quit the football team. And then Ansel Elgort attacks him in the canteen and like punches him in the face.
Yeah, and then the comment you made on that was, imagine if this was an outtake from Call Me By Your Name, in which 6 foot tall Armie Hammer.
6 foot five.
6 foot five Armie Hammer is like... Which is awful.
Yeah, no, I'm cutting this out.
That was a bad... Really?
No.
Okay. What else do I have?
Okay.
Dean Norris, I think, parallels with real life in that he doesn't know shit about technology.
Right, okay. So this brings in a favorite little short story that we have. Dean Norris last year just tweeted the words sex gif. Sex gifts.
So he was searching somewhere for sex gifts.
And he forgot that Twitter is not a search engine. And he types it in, he sends it, and it went like quasi-viral. And he never...
I think the funniest part is that he didn't delete it.
He never deleted it. It's still up there.
Which probably means that he... Not only does he not know how to search for his
But he doesn't really care what people think.
He just doesn't... He also doesn't know how, and he also doesn't care enough to get anyone to help him.
To show him, yeah, yeah.
So, and... There's a part where he goes up to the son who's addicted to video games, and Carl Sagan. There's a point where he goes up to his son's laptop, and he kind of, like, tentatively touches the mouse pad, and it's so much he doesn't know how
It cuts in from another scene. You just see this hand touching the mouse pad, and you know straight away that it's Dean Norris's character. Because
you're like, of course he doesn't know how to fucking use a computer.
Then you also
much garbage here. Oh, titty fucking cum queen. And the whole thing about that is she says it because it's like this young boy, Adam Sandler's son, is watching it. And they're like, she's like, he would have found this video strange had it not been viewed by 3 million others. So it's kind of coming down on porn?
Well, no, I think it's Adam Sandler's son is
impotent.
He develops like serious erectile dysfunction as a result of his porn addiction.
Disassociation.
It's a pretty tragic, depressing storyline.
It is, like, and it's really preachy. It's very, very much like you preachy, watch porn, you get ED. Yeah. Like,
The
girl, Judy Greer's daughter, so she gets a bit of a chance. She gets recruited by these people who are like, they're part of a company called America's Next Big Celebrity.
A TV talent show.
Which she almost gets hired on, but in the end you find out that she didn't because her mother was actually selling those racy photos on the internet instead of just, like, displaying them.
Yeah.
So that was a big issue, and that's kind of the climax of that storyline.
That's all the notes we've got.
Is that really all the notes?
The ones I'm allowing you to read out. So Adam Sandler and Rosemary DeWitt are the married couple whose son has the porn addiction, and they both kind of individually go on online... extramarital affairs, him with a escort and her with this series of very attractive middle-aged men on Ashley Madison.
And it's really Ashley Madison. Like, a lot of the time they'll make up a website name.
Ashley Madison, but they actually use Ashley Madison.
Ashley Madison. And they use an Ashley Madison commercial at one... my favorite one, where they display the fact that their relationship is struggling by showing that they're playing Words with Friends.
Yes.
And the two words, so the wife puts in gaze, and then Adam Sandler makes it gazes and makes it sag. So as an S and then sag. And it's just so fucking dumb.
And the film uses this pretty good visual motif of having all the messages and texts and whatnot appearing on the screen, which you need to have because the film is so much based on online activity.
I heard that they gave the actors actual phones with, like, the messages coming up so that they could, because you can't be an actor you know?
Yeah, yeah, that would make sense. But it's sort of like if this film had been made 15 years ago, before that technique became normalized by, like, Sherlock and whatever, I feel like it would have done a thing where every time someone was sending a text or an email, it would just show film over their shoulder of what they were typing.
Yeah.
And that would be so tedious.
Yeah.
Having
the
things pop up on the screen actually really works well here.
And also, even the idea of, like, a split screen would annoy me. Like, it's too distracting. This was just so much easier and just went over so naturally.
And the film is quite, like, it's actually very, it is very quite well put together. Like, it's well edited and
the story adds up. It makes
very
sense.
It's easy to follow.
Yeah.
I think it's
how difficult we're making it to follow.
Yeah, we're making it really difficult to follow, but in the film it works quite well.
I don't know. I am uncomfortably familiar with this movie, probably just because, like, I'll watch it when I'm bored and it's just, like, mildly entertaining. Well, for someone who's watched it a bunch.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I don't know, every once in a while I'm like, oh, cool.
No, I mean, there's just a lot of really charming actors in it. Like,
oh, and I was wrong. Did you do the tweet that I sent about
but, like, 4 people saw it.
Oh, yeah. So I said to Lucien, dude, I think the line, heard you banged Hannah Clint, how are those titties, got Timothée Chalamet his SAG card.
Yes.
SAG. SAG. Maybe he was referring to the Screen Actors Guild.
Yes, maybe he was referring to the Screen Actors Guild.
Anyway, I was wrong.
It's not a line in the film.
It's not. It's a hybrid
of two different lines.
But, I feel really bad about that, but I'm just going to go on pretending
it
was true.
You raised my expectations. You shouldn't have done so.
Because it's so funny.
Imagine
with the, like, beautiful auteur career he's got ahead of him and behind him already. And his first line was like, how are those titties?
I know. Oh, it is good. It's good. So we're Men, Women, and Children number two.
Oh, Jesus.
Men, Women, and Children, and...
And...
Men, Women, and Non-Binary People and Children?
Men...
Women and...
People...
Men, Women, and Children, and More Children?
And AI, I don't know.
Men, Women, and Children too. We've got to tackle AI. We've got to tackle sex robots.
Yes, because of course one of them's going to have...
Someone's going to have a sex robot.
We got to be preachy about the new frontier and talk about how dangerous it is.
Who's going to have the sex robot first?
I think that...
Dean Norris.
I think Dean Norris is going to click on a pop-up.
Yeah, and he's going to accidentally buy a sex robot.
That is the other thing. Adam Sandler in this movie clicks on a pop-up and it leads to an actual website.
Yeah. Amazing.
Which I think is a dangerous message to send to our adults.
Exactly.
Like, this is all about, don't let kids watch porn. Don't let kids go on the internet, whatever. But then it's like, he fucking clicks on a pop-up and it's fine. Uh-huh. Don't let old men do that.
Yeah, so Dean Norris.
Yeah.
Clicks on a pop-up, accidentally buys a sex robot.
Yeah.
It comes to the house and he's like, what the hell?
And then he gets really tech savvy with it. And he's like, and he'll tell his buds, his like drinking buds about it. And he's like, do you know I can actually program, it's going to be something Russian. It's going to be like, what's a Russian woman say?
I'm trying to not say the names of people I've met.
Please do.
No, I don't know. I can't think of a Russian woman's name.
Anyway.
I've just watched Chernobyl. I should be able to think of loads.
Like Melania.
Melania.
It's like, did you know you can program Melania to blah 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 blah? Like it's definitely gonna be, and everyone's gonna be like, who are you?
I also want him and Adam Sandler's friendship to develop in the second one because I really like the one scene where they're standing together at the side of the pitch with the guy with Jim from Parenthood.
Roy from The Office, which is kind of ironic that he's named Jim.
Yes, it is ironic. I want those three guys to be like the buddies and them to hang. Like, Adam Sandler doesn't have to do anything significant in the next movie as long as he's there for his friend Dean Norris.
Well, because I think that the Adam Sandler and his wife, Rosemary
DeWitt.
That's
resolved.
It's resolved. And I like the way it is resolved because he says, like, we've both done bad things and we could, you know, tell each other all of it.
And freak each other out.
Or we could just make you
breakfast.
Yeah. And we're just like clean slate, which I'd love. And I think that that is a perfect jumping off point for a sequel.
Is it clean slate or is it we are going to continue doing this stuff, but we're not going to allow the marriage to be wrecked by it?
Either way, I like that.
Either way? Okay.
I think that I like that message that it's like, you don't have to, it doesn't have to be ruined if you just have this consensus.
Yeah. I get that. What is everyone else up to in the sequel? I don't really want to see any more of Ansel Elgort and Caitlin Dever.
They go to college and they're gone.
Yeah, they're gone.
They are straight up gone. They work for Tumblr now.
What would he do in college, though?
He's philosophy. He's that guy. No, they break up in college. He does philosophy and he starts calling women bitches online.
Okay, that seems accurate. And what would Adam Sandler's son do in college? He's not going to go to college.
He's not going to go to college.
He's just going to be like...
Or he is. He's just such a... Dope.
He's such a dopey fucking dope.
Like, at one point, the hot girl, you know, Hannah is her name. Sorry, that was loud.
It was loud.
It was very loud. I can see that. They attempt to have sex, and he can't get it up. And, like, just their whole thing is, like, she's talking, and she's like, was it something I did? What's going on?
And trying to communicate. He's just non-communicative.
Like, which is, like, my least favorite thing a dude can do, where it's just like, I don't know. And it's, so he's definitely not going to have anything interesting.
He's not a bright future.
No.
And then...
he's just not an interesting guy.
J.K. Simmons... not coming back for number two.
Or,
weirdly.
I feel like this movie just ended. Maybe it doesn't need a sequel. Yes, because we have to franchise
everything.
We have to,
because the podcast is about that. This isn't
just the hand talks about Men, Women, and Children.
I know, I regret making this podcast about sequels, because we never end up talking about them. Like,
well, in the sequel, I think that it's... I think it would be a different batch of people altogether.
Yeah, no,
maybe
it would.
Maybe with,
it
like,
would.
One character that crosses over.
Right, put some actors in it, then.
Oh, geez.
Put some people who'd be good in a Men, Women, and Children
sequel.
But
they have to be like, I think, Timothy Chalamet's already taken.
No, I don't want him in this. This is enough of him. I've had enough of him.
Who do we want? Who's, like, hot now? Beanie Feldstein?
No, she's funny. This is a very melodramatic film.
Saoirse?
No. God, no. They don't have to be, like, people of, like, A24 movie casts. Like,
oh, Lucas Hedges is in the sequel, though.
He is, though.
Because he's in every one. Like, he's begrudgingly in the sequel.
How about the main kid from mid-90s? Or Elsie... no, not Elsie Fisher.
Yeah, no.
See, 8th grade's actually quite like this. They're quite similar films.
Yeah, Elsie Fisher could very much be in this. But she's too young.
It's the same character.
No, and she's too young.
8th grade's just like a younger version of this.
Yeah, maybe 8th grade's the sequel.
I think 8th grade kind of is the sequel.
Eh.
It kind of is.
I don't know. It's a little bit...
Similarly directed, like...
Yeah.
It is weird how this film doesn't exist and 8th grade is like beloved and heralded, because I frankly don't see much difference in the quality.
No, 8th grade is much, much better.
I genuinely prefer this. Because it has boys in it.
You weirdo.
It has boys.
Sexist weirdo. Yep. Just kidding. Lucy's not a sexist weirdo.
Yeah.
He's just a weirdo.
I hope not.
Absolutely not. No, you're not. Don't worry. I'm sorry.
I was my favorite actors. I don't even care. Put anyone in there. Put Woody Allen in there.
No.
James Franco. No. Christoph Waltz. Christoph Waltz is not, by the way, should not be included in the list with those other people. He's not a pervert.
Morgan Spurlock.
Morgan Freeman.
No, I think Morgan Spurlock contributed to the digital age in a way that we should address.
Kevin Hart should be in here.
Should we do the
box office game?
Yeah.
I was going to do it.
Anyway, let me talk about this movie for like 6 more years. I think that the texting lingo they use is like a whole reason to watch this in and of itself, just because it's so funny.
Do you want to like test me on the box office today?
No.
Do you think do you think you'll be able to come up with clues?
Real quick, I just want to say,
yeah.
I do love when Adam Sandler's son and Judy Greer's daughter try to sext, and so the son, because he's so awkward and doesn't know how to fucking talk to real women,
mm-hmm.
goes like, what would you do if you found me naked? And then Hannah equally does not know what she's doing, so she says, I'd rub my hands all over you.
Right, there you go. I haven't looked at this. So this is the weekend of October 17th, 2014?
Yep.
So, okay, so give me clues to the top, like, 10 movies, okay?
I don't know what this first one is, but it is a feeling of anger.
It's the movie Fury starring Brad Pitt. It's about World War II tank drivers.
Okay. This other one I didn't see. See, this doesn't work. I haven't seen anything.
Just click into it and see the poster.
Okay. This one is Ben Affleck and people love it. Yep. Oh, I clicked it. Now it won't go back. Go back. This one, I believe, is a cartoon DreamWorks movie. I've actually seen this. It's very cute.
Storks?
No, it's...
Home.
It's like based on like the
pre-home.
Day of the Dead theme.
Oh, it's The Book of Life.
Yes.
Not DreamWorks.
I did like that. Oh, sorry.
I don't know who made that movie, actually. Warner Animation or something?
Okay, for context, Lucien and I stumbled upon a movie on Netflix called Middle School, The Worst Days of My Life.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, such a
pretty good film.
Pretty good film. This is probably what it was trying to copy.
It was 2014.
Yeah. It's super duper long.
There was no Wimpy Kid movies in 2014, no?
No Wimpy Kid.
Okay. Middle School, and it came out in 2014, and a super long... Go in and tell me, like, an actor way down the list.
An actor way down the list.
Or tell me the director. Tell me the director.
Oh, one second. I don't know where this is. Oh, no. It's Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day.
I've seen that. Steve Carell and Jennifer Garner.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, Jennifer Garner. She was in this one. She's the evil mama.
That's pretty good. I've seen that. It's not bad. It's actually pretty good.
Oh, God. I think this one reflects the line, everything is different in the world of me.
All right.
It's called The Best of Me.
Oh, I think that's a Nicholas Sparks.
Yeah, it seems like
romantic drama. Well,
everything is different in the world of me. Dracula Untold.
No, give me clues.
The Judge, Annabelle, The Equalizer.
Fucking The Judge was on there, and you didn't give me clues. The Judge is my favorite film.
I wouldn't know.
The Judge is my favorite film of all time.
Who's it about?
It's Robert Downey and Robert Duvall, and it's a movie where like. I can't even describe The Judge. Robert Duvall shits himself in the shower. Robert Downey has to clean up after him.
I need that. I need it.
It's a great movie.
Okay, wait. The next one, I actually have seen this one. It's a lazy use of Caius Cotelario. It's a...
Maze Runner 2, The Score Trials?
It's just
Maze Runner 1.
Yeah.
Okay.
Addicted, I don't know what that is.
No, I don't know.
The Box Trolls, I don't know what that is.
That's really good.
This one is a weird one. I don't know why it's so low down on the list.
Probably came out a while ago.
It was a Marvel movie.
Oh, it was Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes.
Because it came out 2 months earlier.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's why it was low down on the list.
Left Behind.
Oh, that's a Nicolas Cage apocalypse evangelical movie.
St. Vincent.
That's St. Vincent. Have you seen St. Vincent? You'd like that.
No, I haven't. Okay.
You'd like St. Vincent.
Meet the Mormons.
Meet the Mormons.
Oh, here's a one that was based off a children's cartoon.
2014.
Animals. It's like four characters with Renaissance names.
Oh, it's not Out of the Shadows. It's just Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
2014.
This is Megan Where Fox. I Leave You.
This is Where I Leave You, you'd love.
Really?
That's kind of like where the judge and men, women, and children meet in the middle. I Leave You. Look, it's Bateman, Tina Fey, Jane Fonda, Connie Britton, Adam Driver.
Oh, I kind of love that.
The bald dude, Corey Stoll. Oh, very white. It's Jewish, though.
Okay.
They get away with it.
Okay.
From the director of Night at the Museum.
Fair enough. Oh, this is a lot of good ones.
2014 is a great year for movies.
It is. This one.
Interstellar came out like a week later. Michael Keaton is a Birdman or the Unexpected Virtue of Ignorance.
This one is now a Netflix show.
So it's probably the Mortal Instruments, City of Bones?
No, it's a Netflix show, like a tackling race.
Oh, what?
Do white people?
Oh, right, okay.
A sequel that fucking, Morgan Freeman is in.
So that would be,
with a dolphin
that would
and
be,
a tail.
That would be my beloved Dolphin Tail 2.
Dolphin Tail 2.
You know who's in Dolphin Tail 1? John Krasinski.
Oh, I know. Wasn't there a really silly tagline for Dolphin Tail?
Probably like... No, I've heard like see the tail in 3D or something. I don't know.
Oh my god.
Shark
Men,
tail.
Women, and Children is right below Dolphin Tail 2.
At what number in the chart?
23. Yeah.
Lowest opening of Adam Sandler's career.
Oh my god,
career.
No. Jesus. This is included in Adam Sandler's career.
Wait, can we look at something?
I'm so sorry for going all the way down.
So I want to look at now. We're going to look at Adam Sandler, all Adam Sandler movies. We're going to look at like where this ranks in his box office.
Because honestly, the it's my favorite of Adam. I don't fuck it. Fuck
I
grown-ups.
Love Adam Sandler.
Give me Men,
grown-ups
Women, and Children.
Shit, he's got great movies. Okay, let's look. Okay, Lifetime gross. So.
Don't look at my boyfriend's
I'm not. Adam Sandler, Men, Women, Children is, it is his lowest grossing film ever. Congratulations, Adam Sandler. It is number 33. It made $705,000. Wow.
That's really sad.
That's really tragic.
Do you think that this was anyone's top set paying movie? I would imagine some of the younger
actors. Of the younger kids, like some of the kids who don't have dialogue. Maybe the third girl out of the like.
Yeah, the group where she's like the one dating Timothy Chalamet, which who knew that would be such a
big
deal.
It's Judy Greer's biggest hit as like a lead. Like Judy Greer is always just like in one scene of Jurassic World and stuff.
No, 13 going on 30. She was
okay,
like,
I haven't
good.
Seen that. I haven't seen that.
You need to see 13.
Who's the man in it? Ruffalo?
Barely. It's a very girly movie. Yeah. Like it's very female
centric. I don't like films without men in them.
There you have it.
Thanks for tuning in. That's all we have time for in this episode.
Jesus, Lucien doesn't like films without men in them.
Where's the damn scene? Where?
There are men in it.
And Mark Ruffalo's in it.
Mark Ruffalo and Jim Gaffigan is briefly in it. Like,
Okay. A girl who was in DCU last year is opening for Jim Gaffigan at a show soon.
You're kidding. That's awesome.
Pretty cool,
that
it?
Is
yeah.
very cool.
All right. Thank you. Ms. Friedel, do you want to do another one after this, or is this your farewell for the summer?
This is
your farewell
I think for the this summer. Is my farewell okay. for the summer.
Well, Hannah's going back to the United States.
See, for Chisco.
So, we'll have you back in a few months.
Yeah, I'd love that.
And you can watch some films in the meantime to talk about.
All right.
Watch the ones that I have on the checklist.
Okay, will do. Be back soon.
Thank you for your contributions. I hope you don't die in a plane crash.
I hope so too. And guess what else I hope, Lucy? And guess what else I hope? I hope I get to watch Men, Women, and Children on the airplane home.
I hope not, because if there's kids sitting behind you, I don't want them to be exposed to the like.
There's no peens. There's only Bobs. There's only Bobs. No vagine.
Good God. All right. Goodbye.